All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I wanted the circumstances to be different, but there's no time like the present. Carmen, you're the woman of my dreams. You made me a better man. I can't wait to see what a badass mom you're gonna be to our girl. You make me so happy, but there's only one thing that'll make me happier. Carmen Diaz, will you be my wife?
Johnny, you've changed my life completely. And I love you. Yes. 1,000 times yes.
All right.
Oh. I can't wait to marry you.
I'm so glad you said that.
Guys, it's on.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is Cobra Kai Cast.
This week, we're covering Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 12, titled Rattled.
Rattle because it's a baby, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
New member of the Cobra Kai family.
Yeah. Oh,
sweet. Baby Laura.
Laura, who looks like she's about at least 2 months old.
They can't have a newborn on there.
No, that'd be weird. All right. Rich, want to read the summary?
Sure. The Saikai Taikai agrees to hold the remainder of the tournament in the valley, giving Miyagi-Do home field advantage. Hawk and Dimitri develop an AI training simulation to help Robbie prepare for his rematch with Axel, but Robbie remains shaken from their last fight until Miguel gives him a pep talk. Sam trains with Tori while trying to convince her to rejoin the tournament and reveals she's considering postponing UCLA for a year in Okinawa. Meanwhile, Chosen is heartbroken when Kumiko admits she only sees him as a friend. So Daniel and Amanda take him to Ojai to meet Moon's mother, Winnie, an effort that ends in disaster. Johnny plans to propose to Carmen, but it is interrupted when she goes into labor. They have a spontaneous hospital wedding officiated by Johnny's old friend, Bobby, before Carmen gives birth to their daughter, Laura, named after Johnny's mother.
So what do you guys think?
You know, it was a show that made me smile for pretty much the duration of it, and it got me in the feels a few times, but that said, we better see some bloody karate next episode.
I'm sure that, yeah, we're going to get a big crescendo here at the end.
I want to see some kick-ass karate going on.
Some heads flying off. Rima?
Yeah, I agree. I smiled too. I cried a lot, I'll admit. There were some really great things in the episode, but I am very much ready for all the action. So I have a feeling, because we're getting these first couple episodes that are just kind of wrapping it up, right? Wrapping up the series, you know, wrapping up
the emotional,
like these the friendships, that then we're going to get into some serious action. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any spoilers, but I saw like a little blurb from one of the writers, can't remember which one, or one of the showrunners, that was like, it like packed full of action, like this,
I'm sure,
this last like section. So yeah. I'm really holding out that it's going to be, you know, packed full and we'll get all of that. But I'm okay with it in the meantime, because this was a really nice episode.
Yeah, me too. Like I'm not antsy for that, because I know it's coming, and I thought this episode started out kind of dumb, honestly. I was sort of smiling, but also like, I don't know. And then when it started getting into the feels, I was watching it on my VR headset, and I thought I was going to break it because I was crying in there.
Was it getting all foggy and misty?
Yeah, breaking with my tears. I couldn't see anywhere. Had to wipe off the lenses. No, I loved it. And by the time it was over, I was like, yeah, this is so good. I really like that. Yeah, because, I mean, I wouldn't want every episode to be like that, but we're almost at the end here, so.
Right, yeah.
It was really good.
It was another necessary episode.
Yeah. But, I didn't feel like last week where I'm like, all right, we had to get that stuff out of the way. I was like, my heart is so full.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very good.
Done with feeling.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I go first?
Take it.
Yeah, go for it.
So there's this theme. I mean, the Karate Kid movies are a lot about mentors, parental figures, role models, bad teachers and good teachers. So it's sort of almost a hierarchical thing. There's one mentor role and then there's a student role, but here, or like that, you know, parental figure, son, daughter figure. But this episode was more about people on the same level, friends supporting each other and making each other better, or lovers. And I think that's one thing that Cobra Kai has really added to the whole Karate Kid thing, is there's a lot more of that kind of thing going on. A lot of friends helping each other out. And Bobby's, I'm not going to go into too much of the proposal and the wedding and everything, but just what Bobby said, the preacher guy, he said, "We're gathered here today to celebrate the union of two remarkable people who will remain best friends no matter what the future brings, who will help one another grow into stronger individuals, who will choose to set aside their individual differences to forge something beautiful." And as he's saying it, it's also showing Hawk and Dimitri goofing around and Sam and Tori training. And I think it's about Robbie and Miguel too. And all these pairs have had their ups and downs with each other, but they're really, this whole episode, just helping each other, shoring each other up, supporting each other. Daniel and Amanda are having to support each other about freaking out about Sam leaving, and Hawk and Dimitri.
Three bottles of wine.
Yeah. And Johnny goes to Bobby for help, you know, and he encourages him to propose to Carmen. Hawk and Dimitri figure out a way to stay in touch, even though they're going to different schools. And Miguel's being a cheerleader again with Robbie, inspiring him not to give up when he's feeling insecure about his fight with Axel. Tori helps Sam train, and Sam convinces Tori to finish the tournament. And Daniel and Amanda help each other. So anyway, and of course, Johnny and Carmen, they're like the main pair. They tie the knot, and he says she's made him a better man. And she says that he's changed her life completely. So just to sort of, I know we'll talk each one of those more, but just to touch on it, that it just kept hitting that same theme over and over again, friends helping each other out. And it was really nice to see.
Yeah, that was probably the most emotional part for me. Showing the little montage of Eli and Dimitri, and then Sam and Tori as Bobby was giving his speech. In fact, I got caught up in the moment of the feels with the kids that I had to go back and listen to Bobby's speech again, because I really wasn't paying attention to what he was saying.
I mean, also they were playing instrumental of Berlin's Take My Breath Away, which is from Top Gun, you know?
Yeah.
That did totally me in adds it, immediately. Yeah. It's like one of my favorite 80s songs and like from one of my favorite 80s movies, Top Gun. I mean, it does me every time.
It's such a good song.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah, plus it reminded me a little of our friendship group, our little clique, when we all went off to different colleges, and I went and visited Jason in Santa Barbara and Boston, and people would come. Tim came down and saw me in Los Angeles, and so on and so forth. It was cool.
Oh,
yep. And now here we are, 75 years later, still friends.
Yeah. That damn song still playing in the background.
Remo, want to go first?
Funny. Sure.
Or second, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about some of the things happening in any way that you led that off nicely, is, you know, kind of going through each thing there in the montage. You know, we get this whole thing between Miguel and Robbie. You know, we get this cool AI, right, that the Binary Brothers come up with, which was kind of, I don't know, I was kind of weirded out. It was kind of like cool, but at the same time, it was kind of weird. So
I hated it.
Yeah, I was like,
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, I was like, okay, whatever. I tried not to focus. I was trying to think of like all the good stuff. So I just, it was kind of. Yeah, it was a cute idea, but I was just like, okay, I'm not going to dwell on it because whatever, because we're in the last couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to like just let some of it go and not hang too much on it, but I'm like, whatever. I can kind of see what they're going for. But what I liked about it so much was that, you know, Robbie was, you know, getting down on himself because he kept seeing the numbers, like his odds just kept going down, and he went right back to being the angsty Robbie. Yeah. But then Johnny, yeah. Or sorry, not Johnny. I was thinking of Johnny because Miguel kind of emulates Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Numbers are for pussies.
Yeah. He was, you know, he totally came in clutch like he did in Barcelona. And like, and he came in with this. And that's why I was thinking of Johnny, because it was very, like, very Johnny-esque talk that he gave him. Yeah. Like I said, numbers are for pussies. And, you know, reminding Robbie, you know, how hard he worked, and kind of reminding him, like, you know, you remember when, you know, we were fighting at the All Valley, like you didn't give up then, you know, and just kind of going through that whole thing and pumping him up. And it was such a good moment, because all the years of tension, I just feel like there's every time, you know, you think that those two were going to see eye to eye and have some resolve, there was always something that came back between them. But here we are now, we finally get to this, you know, the season where, you know, they're good, right?
They're like brothers now. Both their parents
are together. Yeah.
I mean, they are brothers, kind of, right? Yeah.
They are now. They are now. Yeah. They got, mm-hmm. you know, Johnny and Carmen got married here at the mm-hmm. end, so officially they are stepbrothers. Mm-hmm. So it was really good. It just felt like a really good earned moment between the two, because of all the things and all these years of tension between them. And then that takes me into like Sam and Tori, kind of the same thing where, you know, they're training together and it feels really familiar, but it was so good to see this warmth between them. You know, they're chatting about how they didn't like each other, how it felt good to like be fighting each other again, how they were kind of being playful with each other. She's like, come on, you know, this might be the last chance you get to kick me in the face. You know? I thought that was, you know, really funny. You know, they weren't always that way. They always had that tension between them, and they had some really good talks. You know, they really exchanged and got deep with each other. Tori, you know, really talking about her feelings and, you know, why she quit and why she didn't want to put the gi back on, and how it affects her relationships with the people that she cares about. I just love seeing that growth from Tori. I've really been rooting for Tori from the beginning. I know she's done some bad things, but she's come so far, I think. And for her to recognize, you know, that's what kind of keeps happening, you know, is, you know, she's kind of, you know, figuring that out. And I like that Sam also then opens up to her about, you know, wanting to join this program in Okinawa and how that could affect her relationship with Miguel and how she'd be so far away. And so it was just really good to see these groups of kids come together after all the tension and all the growth. It's like all of this has come full circle. So I'm loving all of it. And I was glad also that we got Tori's perspective on you know, like her decisions to go to Cobra Kai. You know, I think we probably knew, but like kind of getting her perspective really, really kind of helped too. So I loved all of that. So then seeing there at the end, the montage that you were just, you know, running through, just kind of, yeah, like I said, I cried both times I watched the episode. So that's my number one, just starting off with like, love seeing these relationships kind of come full circle. They're earned for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a long way from "I'm coming for you, bitch."
Yeah, with the like bracelet, spiked bracelet that cut her arm and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Or Robbie and Miguel, or like Robbie kicked Miguel over that railing and
just
broke his back.
Now they're forget about stuff like that.
Yeah, I had forgotten about it until I just started thinking about it. But yeah, they've really come a long way. You're right.
I felt that way about Sam too, about how she's like finally being a good friend, I guess.
Yeah.
You can say it that way. She hadn't always been that way, but
no.
It feels like she's totally matured.
Sam's been kind of annoying for me for most of the series. Yeah. And this season, I've liked her a lot more, especially, you know, like between her and Tori. So, yeah.
And she was doling out some good advice. Everybody was doling out good advice this time around.
Yep. She said, nobody's going to think badly of you if you finish this fight. You're not going to lose your friends. We have your back no matter what logo's on it. And I think she's right about that. And I guess I can understand Tori being worried about it given what happened in Barcelona. But she's already in it now. I would go just check with Robbie. I mean, or just tell him, hey, I'm going to do this. All right with you, you know?
Yeah. She did say they're barely talking. So they are talking a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know what she meant by that, but they've been back a month. So I feel like maybe she said we're lucky that we're still talking or something. I forget. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
they're together still. I think they're together. I think. But as far as Samantha being annoying, I think every one of these kids has definitely annoyed me at times.
Yeah.
Dimitri's. Yeah. And then I love them at times too.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
All right, Richard.
Well, we could do the Johnny talk.
Johnny,
I love that Bobby made an appearance, and you know, Johnny consulted his friend there, Bobby, who tells him basically to stop waiting for everything to be perfect and take a leap of faith, so to speak, I guess, with Carmen.
Yeah, he said, don't sleep on your own happiness, Johnny. Take the leap. Do it.
Yeah, right after Johnny said, you know, Bobby asked him, when was the last time things were perfect? And he's like, I think after I won the All-Valley Tournament in 83.
I thought he was going to say, you know, they've never been perfect. But he's like, right after I won that tournament. And it was just that was the year before Daniel came into it and fucked it all up for him.
Yeah. He did not hesitate on that moment.
Yeah.
You went right
and then I love that it was kind of this like, oh, yeah, that's remember, like I was holding the trophy up. Yeah, yeah. And what about those two babes you bagged afterwards?
That one was a freak.
Yeah, they were wild.
They were totally hot. Yeah, so that, you know, that I thought made Bobby's advice and what Johnny did even more meaningful, you know. Taking that leap of faith and starting a family with Carmen. Well, making it official, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But now with baby Laura and marriage, like literally just right before the tournament, he's got so much more to lose. And I'm nervous because this damn show has, I'm regretting how this show has trained us to expect the worst while everything is going so well.
Yeah. I'm not convinced it's going to be super nice. I mean, I think it's going to be a happy ending, but there's going to be some things in there that aren't so great. I feel
right. Cause you still got the bad guys showing up.
I don't hear that.
Well, do you have more to say or can I go into my next point?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Cause that kind of does lead me into my next point. Chosen gets a date. He gets this letter from Kumiko saying she loves him as a friend, but her heart lies somewhere else. And yeah, I felt bad for him, but at this point, I've already kind of let go of that and thought he would be good with Kim Dae-yoon.
Yeah.
And yeah, I forgot about Kumiko.
Yeah, and I'd kind of be shocked if that doesn't happen. And I think it's weird with Kumiko. Like, I really loved Karate Kid 2, and I loved her in that. And when she came into Cobra Kai in Season 3, I was glad they got the actress back, Tomita Tamlin. And so then I thought it was a little bit weird to have this whole story that Kumiko falls for her and then gets rejected by her and she's not even in it, you know, it would have been nice to have her come back for one more scene or something. But anyway, so then Daniel and Amanda decide to take him along wine tasting and set him up with their friend Winnie, who I didn't catch it the first time, but she's Moon's mom.
Yeah, yep. Right. I didn't catch that till the second watch either.
Crunchy friend. And she's into all this woo-woo stuff. Played by Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, that was Elizabeth Berkley?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Showgirls.
Yeah,
wouldn't
showgirls.
Have thought of that.
And it was hard to watch Chosen being such a dick to her. Wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, like, it was.
What the fuck, dude? I, you like, know,
she's
I'm like
nothing but nice.
Yeah. I mean, she
warm.
Was like you know, over generously kind to him, because she's like, mentions Reiki, and he's all, Daniel-san, in Okinawa we have a saying, something in Japanese, which means Reiki is bullshit. And I'm like, I guess you haven't completely outgrown the dickhead side of you that we saw back in Karate Kid 2. And then she said it was devastating when her daughter Sage went off to college and her biorhythms haven't recovered since, not even with weekly sound baths or crystal healing. That is because crystals are also bullshit. The way he said it was pretty funny, but I was like, dude. And she's just sitting there all centered. And I think the way Elizabeth Berkley played it, she didn't play it necessarily like she was interested in Chozen, but more just like she was very composed and didn't let it get to her at all.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and thought, I wonder how I can help this guy.
Well, impatient woman.
Yeah, very, very patient. So they realize they both like reality shows, Storage Wars, 90 Day Fiance, Florabama Shore, Too Hot to Handle, and Vanderpump Rules. How many of those do you guys watch? Admit it.
Zero.
I watch Vanderpump Rules.
That's
big
it.
Fan. Huge fan. I've heard of the others, just,
yeah,
you know, but I don't watch those.
I think I might have seen an episode or two of Storage Wars, but I'm not sure. It's been a while.
What is Storage Wars?
They go through those storage. I don't even know anymore.
I think, and this is only just because of the clips I've seen over the, again, I've not watched a full episode, but I've seen clips. And I think the premise is like, if someone abandons a storage unit, or if they can't pay for it anymore, something like that, they can go,
it gets forfeited
on it,
or
on the contents or something, and then that it becomes theirs.
How's it like that?
Go through, there's something with bidding, and
people bid on them.
And I could sound interesting,
could be completely wrong too. Someone I'm sure might
something
be right
like
and correct
that,
me,
yeah.
But it's
and then they have
like
to go through and see if they struck it, like got good stuff or not, or something like that. Anyway,
yeah.
So then she gets him to do the tarot, and she draws the death card. And in my experience, and every time I've seen it on, you know, anywhere, and as Chozen says, when you draw the death card, it just means that there's a metaphorical death of something in your life. But, you know, like he says, there will be some kind of rebirth. But she's all, no, it literally means someone you know is going to die, like very soon, maybe even more than one person. And I'm like, no tarot reader on the earth has ever said that or will ever say that.
I was shocked when she said that. I'm like, that's never how I've heard the death card be read.
Yeah, it's dumb. Like, I think that's dumb. But I do also think that that means that someone might die, or maybe more than one person.
Yeah, that's how I took it. The writers were talking directly to the audience, saying, hey, get ready.
Yeah, I mean, it could be some foreshadowing, but it sucks. I'm trying to keep the sunshine and rainbows.
Who do we hope it is? I hope it's Axel and Zara. No. I don't know who I would be.
It's gotta be
with.
Terry.
I say it could be Terry Silver.
Terry,
he's terminal.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I like Terry too, but he'd probably be the one that would be okay with. Maybe Kreese will die.
Oh yeah, he's getting up there.
Yeah. And then I don't know. I don't really need to go through the rest of it, but it seems like that he'll be with Kim Dae-yoon. Oh yeah, and he says, like, she says, "There's someone else, isn't there?" There is, and there's an image of Kim Dae-yoon, but we're from different worlds, which made me think of Karate Kid. When Miyagi sees a picture of Daniel and Allie, I never know you have a sweetheart. No, I don't. Look good together. Different but same. No, different but different. Kind of an echo of that. And then when she says the only thing that's not possible, Chozen, is the journey which you do not take. It was sort of similar to Bobby telling Johnny, don't sleep on your own happiness, Johnny. Take the leap. So we're getting that message.
So what's our takeaway? I mean, is Chozen going to be single for the rest of his life? Is he going to find somebody?
He's going to be with Kim Dae-yoon. What are you talking about?
I think he's going to go.
He's not
going to
be the one
Kim
that dies, is he?
No.
No, he couldn't.
No.
He's the humor of the show.
I mean, also, maybe this doesn't matter, but the tarot reader said someone you know will die. Not you might die.
So Kim Dae-hoon, huh? Yeah, I guess they could do the. I guess they could do their dojo together.
I mean, they've really just sort of been telegraphing that this whole time, and I don't see any reason to make that a surprise twist. Surprise! They actually don't get together. That wouldn't be very satisfying. So I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Okay, Rima.
Me again. Well, we've talked about the whole Johnny thing, so I'll try not to rehash anything that we've already talked about. But I like his methods, because even though what was good, right, was for me getting to see Johnny's softer side, and that's probably due to Carmen. I think she's had a really great influence on him. So he's always been so rough. If you look at Johnny season one and then you look at him now, I mean, at his core, he's still the same, but he's definitely softened a lot being around Miguel and Carmen, fixing his relationship with Robbie. And that really came through in this episode. And I loved to see it. Like, but good old Johnny, as he always does, relies on the internet to help him figure out how to propose to Carmen. I never get tired of him and his Googling,
because he sees flowers and he's like, where am I going to get flowers? And I'm like, a flower shop?
I'm like, dude, probably literally on any corner.
Them from somebody.
Yeah. But then seeing like all the suggestions, like flowers and dress for the part and like food and all that. So seeing him go through all of these things, like taking a cooking class, and I'm like, Johnny would never have done that before, right?
No. But this is the first time he's ever given flowers to any girl.
Yeah, probably. So doing this whole thing with the flowers, getting the violinists to be there at his place, and having the rose petals everywhere, having the dinner that he made, which was questionable as far as maybe it being edible enough for them to eat or not. But just, it was so good to see that side of Johnny and to kind of see the softer side. Like, he's still at his core Johnny and kind of clueless and kind of dumb about some things, but yet seeing that softer side, he's kind of got not so rough around the edges anymore. Like when he came out in like that tuxedo shirt.
Yeah. But then he's like, no, it's not good enough.
Exactly. Yeah. Like before, he'd probably think, oh, it's fine. But it's now fine. He's like, oh, no, that's not good. And he goes and gets himself a nice suit.
And that was my favorite part with the tailor.
The suit.
Where he just kept going, what are you like? What are you doing? Don't touch you there. And then they hug at the end.
Yeah. He looked sharp. It was so good to see him in a good suit. He looked good.
That touch just elevated it like five more notches. He's like, oh, it looks good. Give me a hug.
Yeah, it was all good. So I liked seeing all of that. I like seeing all these hoops he was jumping through to make Carmen happy. I'm so glad he took Bobby's advice. And I thought it was really great advice. Like, dude, when was the last time that anything was perfect? And he's talking about something that happened, like 40 years ago. And it's like, what are you waiting for? Just do it. And to see, not only is he just going to do it, but he goes through all of these things to really impress her and show how much he cares. And then I know that the proposal ends up just being there at her bedside as she's, having contractions. But it was still nice in the simplicity, because he still has everybody show up. Everybody's there. Everybody's excited. He's still got the violinist. He's got Bobby there to perform the ceremony. So I just like seeing this, this side of him. And it was just, it was just sweet, And like when he kisses his baby daughter on the forehead, and he was, I love the sentiment and naming her after his mom, giving Carmen his mom's ring, just kind of like a real full circle thing for Johnny. Mm-hmm. So.
And standing there with Miguel on one side and Robbie on the other and just holding them close like his two sons, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
That was perfectly Johnny. And a little bit of fantasy, I think. I mean, it was great. I loved it, everything. A little, you know, got the feels and all that. But still, I mean, seconds before she gives birth, that's when you're going to get married. I don't know any women in my side of the family that would agree.
It's cutting it as close as possible to have that baby born not out of wedlock.
Yeah.
And then also, like, he got a call while he was at his apartment talking to Rosa, Carmen's mom. Oh, her water broke. And then when he gets to the hospital, he's out of breath. So it seems like he rushed there, but everybody's with him, like Daniel and Amanda, who were off wine tasting. They made it over there in time too. So it's a little unrealistic, but whatever. It feels like when something feels really good like that, I'm willing to dismiss that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, who cares?
That's the time warp that happens in these shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little rushed, you know, but I mean, I'm glad that they went ahead and didn't do it for like the last episode. I'm glad that we've got, you know, they got married, they've got the baby, and now we can get on to, like you were saying, Rich, look, let's get on to the badass karate stuff.
Three episodes left still. It almost seems like too many now.
Gotten it all out. Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm thinking two full episodes of fighting, right? And then maybe
an epilogue kind of thing.
Episode, yeah.
And they're not even that long either. Like, I took a peek at like the running time and they're all around like the 39 minute mark, which is what this episode was. So even like, you know, it's our last handful of episodes. We're going to have like hour long or over an hour or something. So I don't know.
But anyway. I keep seeing like posts about it and stuff. And I just like, don't look.
Avert the eyes.
Don't. It's good karate training, huh?
Yeah. Oh, no, don't look away. Dodge. click. All right, Richard, what's next?
Boy, we kind of covered all mine, but I got this about the binary bros busting out that high tech. Jason says he didn't like it. I thought it was kind of cool. At least a good idea. I mean, it's stupid, though, because you're right. I mean, if it was an AI driven real time augmented reality karate training rig, why even go to school? Just mass market it and become billionaires overnight, right?
Yeah.
I was like, why are you even bothering advanced. A college? You guys need to just
it's like
do a startup.
Guess what? This is a sci-fi show now. Where impossible things happen, and they had a month to do it, and it calculates the percentage chance he can win, whatever. Yeah. And Miguel's supposed to be a stand-in for Axel, even though he's like a foot shorter almost. Mm-hmm. And I think the dumbest of all is that Miguel could replicate Axel's unbeatable moves by having them whispered in his ear. What? That doesn't even make sense. And the only one you hear is front roundhouse, and it's like that's all it takes for Miguel to be this flawless fighter like Axel just saying moves in his ear. Doesn't make sense.
It was weird.
And it reminded me kind of if you watch The Walking Dead, there was they went to the CDC in the season one finale and there was this talking AI assistant and it was just like something out of sci-fi. But even more, I thought about the robot in Rocky IV. Remember that?
Yeah.
His brother-in-law, Polly, gives him this robot as a birthday present, and it, like, talks to him and does chores and stuff, and then Polly reprograms it to be the sexy voice. And in both cases, the tech kind of seemed out of place and took me out of it. And I think it's worse in Rocky, because Rocky's an important movie, and it's a drama, and this is a lighthearted comedy, or at least a lighthearted drama, so... it wasn't quite as bad, but it just, but when we got to this point in the episode, I was like, oh man, are all these episodes just going to be dumb? But then
I get what they were trying to do though.
Yeah. I mean, it was about friends helping each other. Like I said at the top, right? This was, I think the writers were like, we want everybody to really shore each other up this episode. So how can the binary brothers help? They'll invent something to help Robbie fight better, you know?
Yeah. And not until my second watch of the episode too, I realized that the actor who plays Axel had to make a cameo and play that part. I was like, oh yeah,
Yeah.
It was good to see him like smile.
Yeah.
Right.
He was pretty like reserved for most of the time.
Yeah, Ivan Drago.
So, yeah.
On the fantasy side of it though, I would enjoy a pair of augmented reality glasses like that that could be that accurate and good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I mean, the Apple Vision Pro is pretty damn close.
Is it pretty close?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know about turning people into other people though.
That's true. Yeah.
Might be some issues there.
I mean, if you like, well, I don't know. You might be able to do it because really? If you have you on your phone, put a filter on yourself, right?
Yeah. I've seen and those. Yeah.
You can change how you look.
That's true. Yeah.
I bet you could do that with VR. You could make somebody look like a whole different person, but you couldn't make them where they're taller, and if you punch higher, you'll actually feel something there.
Yeah, that is weird because it's like if you're trying to get like a hit to the head,
it's gonna hit air.
Yeah.
Good so point. Anyway, I know I'm thinking too hard about it, but really, there's been nothing like that in this series before that I can think of, anyway, where it's just like sci-fi.
Yeah. Pure sci-fi.
All right, my turn. Let's see. I want to talk a little bit more about Johnny going to see Bobby. First off, Carmen's mom was mad at him for bringing the baby into a house of sin. And he says, all right, don't worry, I'll make things right. And she said, not with me, make it right. And I thought she was going to say with my daughter, but she goes with him and pointed up. And I kind of like that. And then he goes to Bobby. And I'm pretty sure everyone would remember that Bobby's one of the original Cobra Kai, right? You'd think so. They're watching this.
Yeah, because he's already made like two or three appearances.
Yeah, but it was way back in season one. But yeah, or maybe one and two. He's the one that Kreese told to put Daniel out of commission in the tournament, jumped up and kicked him really hard in the shin, which is what led Daniel to resort to the crane technique. And so I liked that during the ceremony, when they all were filing in to the hospital room, he like patted Daniel on the shoulder and Daniel looked over and goes, hey man.
Yeah.
Like it's all good between them, you know?
Right. Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But, he's like, I was going to propose a few months back, Johnny, but I ended up getting tanked and took on five ninjas.
That made me laugh out loud. Yeah.
Like it just happens all the time.
I'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah, I didn't even ask him about it, but that's when, the night when they were in the limo, right. And he had to fight, Terry right. Silver's guys, which they were out celebrating Carmen's pregnancy, I think. So it kind of makes sense. He was going to propose around then. Then he was going to propose after the Sakai Taikai, but after what happened in Barcelona, you know, with a kid. And I thought it was interesting. Bobby knew about that. So I guess he follows karate. And I guess the rest of it we've already talked about, just basically telling him, don't expect everything to be perfect.
I wonder if Bobby will be at the tournament.
I bet you not. But maybe.
I wonder if any old faces will be at the tournament. I mean, it's in the valley.
That'd be cool. Dutch.
Still holding out for Hillary Swank.
Well, watch Yellow Jackets. Did you know she's in that this season?
Yes.
Or she will be. Not yet. When Johnny, okay, let me see if I had anything else to say about Johnny proposing. So when he showed Rosa that he had his mom's ring for Carmen and said his stepfather, well, he said Sid gave it to him. And that's the guy, his stepfather, who was mean to him and played by Ed Asner, who's since passed. And I think Ed Asner would have probably, or Sid would have had more of a story point at the end here with Johnny if Ed Asner was still alive, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's probably it. He just said he gave him the ring, so he's getting soft in his old age or something like that.
Hmm.
When Johnny was showing Rosa all the rose petals and decorations and everything and said, you think she'll like all this? Is it all right? And she said, if from you, always right. Do you remember where that's from?
Feels like something Miyagi would say.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I can't tell you when or where.
It's when he invited Daniel into his like maintenance workshop at the apartment complex that Daniel lives in and started teaching him how to trim bonsai trees. And he's like, just picture tree, you know, make like tree. And he's like, how do I know my picture's the right one? If come from inside, you always write one.
Oh. How cool.
Nice callback.
Yeah. That's a good sentiment too. What he said to Carmen when he proposed was really good. You're the woman of my dreams. You made me a better man.
You take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife.
Hell yeah.
Johnny all the way.
And then afterwards he comes out to the waiting room where his closest people are waiting and says, all right, you guys ready to meet her? That was really sweet. Yeah. So anyway, I guess we already talked about all that. Daniel and Amanda, kind of freaking out about their daughter leaving, and that hits close to home with me, not because I have a son who's almost to college, because he's still got at least 4 or 5 years, but I felt that way since he was born.
you know, really?
Like, one day he'll be gone. But I just loved when Daniel said, you know, the next phase is going to be full of unknowns, but the thing that gets us through it is what's always gets us through. We're doing it together. And she's like, ride or die, LaRusso. And he's like, forever. That was a good moment between the two. Yeah. And it was just nice to see them on a date, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was sweet.
Yeah. That was nice.
But relatable. I'm past that point, but having gone through a child growing up, graduating high school, going to college and not close to home, and then moving even farther away, I was like, yep, I think that's pretty much about what I did. You know, just panicked and drank my feelings. It was all fine. It was all fine. You know, in the moment, you know, it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, your little birds are leaving the nest. And
you guys are so much better parents than I am. I had a hard time. I thought it was a little melodramatic because I have a daughter who's just left home, and I was just like, hey, yeah, go have fun. one down, one to go.
Yes. How are we going to get this other one out?
There's nothing wrong with that outlook. That's totally valid, too.
Yeah, she's still close to home. She comes over all the time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. And you too, right? Rima, your daughter would call.
She was definitely really good about, you know, staying in touch and stuff and, you know, calling me or FaceTiming and stuff. So I, you know, it wasn't like, oh, bye mom, never talking to you again or anything. So there was none of that.
Everything. Bye.
Yeah.
I'll be sleeping.
Yeah. So no, there was none of that. She was really good about, you know, texting or calling or whatever, but you know, you know, you get just used to having them there every day and, you know, and then they're gone and.
Well, yeah. I saw this chart. It was like the time, like 85% of the total time you will spend with your kids on average is in the first 18 years or something like that, you know? Mm. And it's like, oh, when you look at it that way.
Yeah. But I mean, it's all good. That's what you want. You want them to, it's in my opinion, what you should be trying to do, right? Raise some good, independent young people and teach them to go out into the world and find their own way and make mistakes and all that. So while it was good, but it was still like, you know, that mommy part of me, like, oh, my baby, you know?
Yep.
Sure. Yeah. But yeah, totally, totally relatable. Mm-hmm. All fun though. I love seeing them, those two together and, you know, just like, yeah, that whole ride or die. I thought that was just really sweet between those two.
All right. Let's do some notes. Rima.
Just something really funny when we were talking about Johnny and Bobby reminiscing about the All Valley in 83. And he's like, hey, I remember those two girls. And then when Johnny's walking away and Bobby just casually says, Tanya and Lorraine.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, that's good.
Especially from like a priest. Huh?
Yeah.
We all got our past.
Right? That's right. That's right. That was really funny between those two.
Mm-hmm.
You called it Jason, when you said that you felt like the tournament was going to be there in the Valley, we got that confirmation. Yeah. We kind of touched on it, but we didn't really talk about it. Gunther is good there call. In the Valley.
Yeah.
So you called that one. So they're going to have it, you know, the same venue. It all comes back. It's all come back full circle.
The All Valley.
You know, I couldn't disagree with you either. I had a feeling like, why would they have it anywhere else? Right. It's got to be there.
It's a little unfair because, I mean, Terry Silver said to Daniel, you can have it wherever you want. And Daniel's like, oh, let's have it in my backyard then. Home field advantage.
Yeah. If you're going to give it to him, then why wouldn't you? I mean, it's a way to find out how serious is he about like letting him have the call, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, about where to have it.
Yep.
But it was kind of funny having all, you know, some comebacks, or callbacks, I guess. Sorry. When Gunther was talking to the board,
the karate committee,
the blue mats come back up again, all arguing about the blue mats, and they're all arguing and he's got to like set them straight. The only thing I found a little, and I get because this is like supposed to be more of a lighthearted, kind of show, but it was interesting because they're, you know, Gunther's like, oh, well, you know, I just don't want to have that same drama that we had from the tournament. And I'm like, drama? Like, a kid died. Like, and you're just like, just don't want any of that drama.
Like, pesky just, drama.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel like that was kind of dismissing like the heaviness of like what actually happened. But, you know, okay, whatever. Again, I'm letting things go. We're in the final episodes. And yeah, that's all I got. The other notes we've already covered. So
yeah, that thing with kind of floating over. It's been a month, right? They open up and say it's been a month since the tragic events are now behind us. But I'm like, damn, still not much love for Quan. He hasn't even been mentioned. You know, I guess that's just over and done with. He's just going to be. Maybe not forgotten about, but
yeah, maybe once they get into the tournament, there'll be some kind of honoring of him or something.
A little honor or tribute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It seems like it would be something you'd do in the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you will, but
Gunther too. I kind of took it though. Rima, like, you know, Gunther is what he say. We must work together to ensure that this tournament concludes without any more drama. And I'm like, okay, that's the writers talking to us. It's just blatant verbal irony. Of course, there's going to be more drama.
Ah, okay, that's a good take. I like that.
Yeah, people dying.
I like that.
More people dying. Well,
possibly. I mean, according to the tarot cards. So, when are they going to address the Kenny and Anthony beef? I haven't seen any of that yet.
Well, no, they made up.
It's still unresolved, isn't it?
No, because. Anthony.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
drank a bunch of X-lax.
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
Right while what's her name, Devin, was telling Kenny that she's the one who spiked his drink.
Yeah, he drank the whole thing, and Kenny was like, "Yeah, you probably
you better
that.
Go home. You better get home."
I forgot about Fast. That. My bad.
Yeah,
but then Devin, yeah, she's out, huh? Because she's not even in the competition anymore.
Kenny's in, Devin's out.
I think. She'll probably just be a watcher, a bystander, huh?
Unless Kenny dies and they have to put her in.
Oh, no. Don't
say that. Oh, my goodness. All this death.
I thought it was pretty funny that the councilwoman was about to crawl across the table.
I know. That's so good.
Yeah. I wondered her, too.
It's like, you want to take away the women's vote? If it'll shut you up.
You son of a bitch. That's
right. She was too slow. I'd been over that table in way less time.
Then right when Gunther punches out Daryl over who gets to be MC,
yeah,
I was like, oh, finally back to some gratuitous violence. Nice. Who does that?
He would have been sued or tried to get him deported
if it was the real probably world.
Totally.
Deported. And then I think lastly, I wrote something down about Sam wanting to go to Okinawa for college.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's a lead in or if it's going to play into the Miyagi mystery
sequel. Yeah, right.
Spin-off. Or even maybe even with Chosen, because Chosen's from Okinawa, isn't he?
Yep. Maybe he'll be in it.
Oh, wait. There's only three episodes left, though. So Maybe not.
Well, they talked about spinoffs.
Oh.
So,
well, there you go.
That, I mean,
Samantha
she
goes
told,
to Okinawa.
She told Tori she hasn't told Miguel yet, and she's not sure how to tell him. And I don't know if this is a deliberate echo, but it reminded me a little bit of Daniel and Kumiko, because they hit it off really well. But then at the beginning of Karate Kid 3, he told Miyagi that she got a job at a dance troupe in Tokyo, so they couldn't be together.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's for my notes. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. I had some funny ones. When the whole karate committee thing, I thought was pretty funny. He's like, we can't afford to pay three different vegan food vendors. And she's like, people need to eat. But Gavin, this isn't the fire festival. And about the blue mats. And then, just the whole argument about who's going to be MC and... what's his name? Gunther Braun, right? Gunther?
Yeah.
He's like, you're right. Let's settle it the old way. And Daryl's like, I'm glad you agree. What exactly is the old way? And then you cut right to them facing off in the hallway with Braun is like in fighting stance and Daryl's just like standing there confused. Gavin goes, ready? And he's like, I'm still not sure what we're supposed to be. Fight! Pop! Kicks him in the face. That was pretty good. When Johnny said when his mom was in labor, she got a flat on the way to the hospital and made it the rest of the way on roller skates. And nurses called her Lucky Laura.
True 80s style roller skates.
Yeah. Uphill in the snow.
Right? I think the reason why they had that joke is just to reinvoke his mom. And then they named the baby after her.
Yeah.
Which is, I looked it up, a fairly common name for like Latinas. So it kind of works on both sides. I like when Johnny said to Bobby, right as he came into the church, hey, do you have one of those boxes where a guy can tell a stranger everything he's doing wrong until he feels better?
Confessional.
Yeah. A couple more notes. Gunther said that with all the media attention, the tournament will now reach an audience far greater than before, which I thought, that's actually a good way to make the whole thing that happened with Quan and everything, Quan dying, more meaningful to the story while still moving on with the tournament, because now it's like bigger stakes and potentially bigger rewards, you know, and everything. And I wonder, too, if they'll somehow, like, prove to the world that karate was worthwhile or something along those lines. I don't know. Hawk didn't get into MIT, but did go to Caltech, which is maybe not quite as prestigious, but still a really good world-class school.
Yeah, very, very good school.
And I'm like, it sounds like he did apply, though, which is like, okay, then after all that fighting where he complained that maybe I don't want to go to MIT, did he just decide to go ahead and try and then... fail? I guess that's what happened, right?
Oh, is that right? I didn't catch that part.
Because he said, you know, like Dimitri was like, what about MIT? And Hawk's like, oh, I'm afraid it's not going to happen, as if he had gotten rejected, I thought, but maybe I read that wrong. I don't know.
Well, and I can't remember the exact dialogue, but when he found out that he didn't apply when Dimitri did, there was a whole conversation, and I know nothing about applying to MIT or what the processes or anything, but he said if you miss that window, like your chances of getting accepted go down or something. So
it was
I
like
think
an
because
early application
waited,
period.
Yeah. But, so I wonder if that had something to do with it, because he did go ahead and apply after they made up, but
oh, that's what happened. Yeah.
Maybe he got rejected because he missed that early window.
There was a whole big thing about Hawk being like, stop trying to make me go to MIT. I don't want to go to MIT. And then he applied to MIT. That's what it felt like to me. And then he did get in.
They're buddies again.
Yeah. They're going to go to summer school at Stanford together.
And visit each other in the spring and winter.
Yeah. That's cool. Daniel is one of those pretentious wine tasters who says... I'm getting notes of ripe huckleberry, which I think that the whole thing about even going wine tasting and all that fits with the theme of upper class, lower class that has always been in Karate Kid, and Daniel started off on one side of the tracks and moved to the other, switching places with Johnny. You know, that was in it from the very beginning with Johnny eating bologna and drinking beer.
And Amanda's like, what does Huckleberry even taste like?
Chosen's like, tastes like juice box.
Juice box.
He likes his Long Island iced teas. That's probably the wine's probably pretty mild to him compared to his Long Island iced tea.
That's right. Hey, yeah, he was drinking. Then he drove him home. I guess he didn't drink that
much. I thought they took an Uber.
Oh, did they? Okay. Back, we have a few calls. No text messages this week, but a few calls, which is pretty cool. Here's Steve Brown.
Hello, Cobra Kai Cast. This is Steve, and I just finished the previous episode's podcast, so here I am getting into Rattled, and hopefully I get this in time. And we start with the wonderful training montage. Any more drama? Seriously? The old way is fight. I love Gunther's great. Any objections? MC Gunther. The mailman just said from the outside yard, you'd never know it. Isn't that the same thing that Daniel said the first time he saw Miyagi's backyard? Oh, yeah. She loves him as a friend letter. Oh, I've got that letter. It's not good. This Chosen just got his letter from the mailman with the mustache. Ooh, Carmen's mom wants Johnny to marry Carmen. Oh, Tori quit, so now she's going to train with Sam to beat the other girl in the finals. Winnie is played by Elizabeth Berkley. Have we seen her before? I don't remember, but this hippie-dippy girl is cool. And Chosen is saying everything she believes in is BS. Yeah, Johnny, things are never going to be perfect. This Bobby's a good guy now. I mean, back then he wasn't. Hey, I don't understand this virtual reality training program that Hawk and Dimitri have for Robbie and Miguel. How is Miguel going to be able to simulate somebody who's like 6 inches taller than him? And faster than him and all that stuff. I don't know if Chosen and Winnie might be a horrible idea. You know, sometimes opposites attract. Chosen and Winnie are bonding over Storage Wars. I haven't watched that in a while, but I used to like that show. This montage of Johnny's proposal ideas is hilarious. But that ending is a nice suit, at least. Oh, I'm getting choked up here with Johnny's proposal. He's got the ring, but he got it from Sid. And the reminder of Ed Asner. Oh, phone call means baby coming. Whoa, this tarot card reading is not good right now. Aw, the journey that you do not take. All right, Miguel giving a good pep talk right here, or coach talk here. And now Sam doing the same thing for Tori. Good job. And Amanda and Daniel just found out about the baby coming, and they're both drunk, so they've got to get to the hospital. Oh, the hospital room proposal, and she accepts, and oh, the ring fits. I always cry at TV weddings. I never cry at real weddings, though, for some reason. Oh, Take My Breath Away being played instrumentally. Glory of Love might have been better. Oh, named her Laura after Johnny's mother. Oh, all right. 3 episodes left.
Yeah, Glory of Love would have been a good one to put in there.
That was pretty good, Steve. He felt like he went on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what this one was. I've definitely gotten that friend letter, too. Maybe a couple of times. All right, here's Alex Kruger.
Hey, y'all. Alex Kruger here, leaving feedback for Season 6, Episode 12, Rattled. So, I'm sure it's just a coincidence, but I wonder if Hawk going to Caltech is a nod to the actress who plays Amanda being Sheldon Cooper's sister in The Big Bang Theory. I have to hand it to the team for giving us a completely 80s storyline this week that felt right out of the Lambda 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 universe when Hawk and Dimitri helped Robbie prepare to fight Axel. The 80s synth pop, the completely over-the-top VR tech, and the crushing of Red Bulls as if they were Natty Lights felt like something straight out of Revenge of the Nerds, and I am here for it. Sometimes I can't tell if I'd actually want to hang out with Daniel or not. I like the guy, I do, but good lord, the pretension with which he is discussing the Huckleberry flavor to the wine. I love that he has Amanda and Chosen there to balance him out. Speaking of which, man, I love a good drunk Amanda. She is so freaking funny. Now, I have to wonder if Johnny was a CCD kid. I don't know what CCD stands for, but I'm a Catholic school survivor, and I knew that public school kids whose parents still felt generational guilt over adhering to the principles of organized religion would send their kids to like a 3-hour religion class every Sunday. But this is a very long way to say that this is the second time Johnny has confused the rules with Bobby's religion and the Catholic Church. I'm super worried Miguel isn't going to handle the whole Samantha wants to go to Okinawa thing well, because frankly, Miguel has seemingly never handled these moments well as a boyfriend. So I'm hoping he has matured, because there isn't really enough time for them to have a conflict and get over it without it feeling a bit rushed or cheap. And lastly, it's time to discuss my favorite stunt casting of all time. When I heard Moon's mom was coming to the brunch, I figured it would be someone we've seen here and there, but nothing too recognizable. But when I saw Jesse freaking Spanos come across my screen, I was like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. No, but in all seriousness, she sold the shit out of her character and was delightfully charming, even though Chosen was being such a dick to her about her lifestyle. She was amazing, and I wish we could have had more. Which brings me to this week's Cobra Kai spinoff idea, The Real Housewives of the Valley. Sick with missing her daughter, Amanda's sister stops out to check in on her. Meanwhile, Allie's parents need her to come and help them out for health reasons. Add them to Amanda, Carmen, and Moon's mother, and I'd watch whatever hijinks and experiences these ladies come up with. Seriously, I feel like the adult women on the show have always crushed their scenes, but have never gotten enough of them. And it'd be great to get so many throwaway lines about what the men are up to in their life. But that's it for me. Looking forward to next week. Keep up the great work, and as always, don't get kicked.
That's a good one. Get Kumiko in there somehow too. That'd be good. Love it, Alex. Thanks.
Yeah, what if Allie shows up?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. All right. Finally, we have Mike Caruso.
Hey guys, it's Mike C back again. This time, I'll be talking about season 6, episode 12, "Rattled," and again for the second week in a row, and surprisingly, for the second time within these last 5 episodes, we have a bit of a slower episode on our hands. That said, this episode was packed with heart and honestly had me get choked up more than once while watching it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you gotta give it to Johnny. He may not have a freaking clue what he's doing about being a dad, but he's trying his damnedest to be the best dad that he can. I'm not gonna lie though, some aspects of this episode felt a little forced to me. Like Carmen's mom, I didn't really see her as the kind of woman that would be judgmental of the potential bastardry of her grandchild, right? Like her defining characteristic prior to this was that she liked to smoke pot and watch the kids do karate. And was Miguel's, you know, dad, were they married? Was Miguel's dad married to Carmen? I don't really remember. It just kind of felt like it came out of nowhere to sort of drive the plot, which is fine. You got to have that. And also Johnny, you know, I never really had him pegged for this religious dude where that would bother him. But I think with him, the argument is he's trying to do the right thing. And I think it was really ultimately to get the pastor into the story, right, in service of getting to that final couple of moments where Johnny proposes, the pastor comes in, weds them on the spot, a really beautiful moment. And after the baby's born, everybody comes in and gathers around, and you've got that beautiful moment. Like, bam, bam, everybody's choked up, not a dry eye in the house. And so for those reasons, I'll forgive it. I also really enjoy.
I think I believed it because, I mean, it's a stereotype, sure, for Hispanic moms or Hispanic families to be religious. But it's a stereotype for a reason, because a lot of them are. So yeah. I didn't think it was too far out of left field, but that is a good point that she would like smoke pot and just be kind of against type a lot of times.
The touch of having the string instruments play Take My Breath Away, that just felt like a really nice touch, very Johnny. And there was actually some really cool 80s sounding music in this episode, particularly with the Dimitri and Hawk stuff. As ridiculous as that simulation bullcrap was, the 80s sounding music around it put a smile on my face. I really enjoyed that. And the other kind of emotional beat in this episode for me was all the stuff with Sam and Tori. It's just really good to see two friends, you know, not necessarily even women, but just two friends like really being there and supporting each other. You know, Miguel and Robbie had that kind of going on too, but something about the women just really got me feeling good, got me in my feels, and it was pretty awesome. And I thought too, it was kind of cool to see the girls are like training seriously in a gym, hand to hand, fist to fist, foot to foot. And the guys are doing some ridiculous 80s simulation crap. It's very on brand for men and women. Women hitting it hard, men just being idiots. All right, that's all I got this week. No Dutch or Julie Pierce, but maybe at this point we should break out the tarot cards and see if they'll make an appearance at all. At the very least, it looks like we'll finally be getting into the action next week based on Netflix's little episode blurb. That said, can't wait to hear what you guys thought of this episode and if it choked you up as much as it did me. Stay badass.
Yep, it did.
Yeah, it totally did. And Mike reminded me when he was talking about the music, I know we already talked about the Take My Breath Away portion, but I can't believe I failed to mention, I didn't even put it in my notes because I'm like, you're not going to forget that. And I totally did, was they played Silent Lucidity by Queensryche. And that is like one of my all time faves like ever. And it was really cool to see or hear that song in a 2025 TV show. So,
yeah.
You know,
that is cool. What part did they play it in?
Right after the wedding.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's one of my all-time faves. I used to just play that on a loop, like as a teen,
and watch the video.
Yeah.
And yeah, both Mike and Alex mentioned the 80s synth pop in the VR, so that changes my feeling about it a little bit because. I think they're really leaning into that goofy 80s, like Weird Science kind of thing.
Yeah, they were playing the Binary Brothers theme throughout that whole segment with the AI. So yeah, it did very reminiscent of like Revenge of the Nerds. I love that call.
Yeah.
Nerds!
And the green code that shows up on screen when you're scrolling down.
Yeah, looks like something Poindexter would put together.
All right, that is our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Next up will be Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 13, Skeletons.
Ooh.
Skeletons.
Remember the Halloween costumes?
Yeah, Halloween costumes and maybe like skeletons in the closet. Those are the two things that come up for me.
Yeah.
Or death.
That's
right. Oh, Richard going for the death card again.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, please check out our other podcasts.
Yeah, the first episode of White Lotus came out. Did you watch it, Rima? Are you into that show?
I'm into it. I haven't watched it yet. There was so many things that was happening on Sunday, so I've got to watch it this week.
This season, I love White Lotus. This season, it's an anthology show, so every season is a new cast and location, but it's always at a just ridiculously opulent White Lotus resort, and all these people of different personality types, but most of them are narcissistic and entitled, and how they relate to each other. And this season's in Thailand, and it has themes of death and spirituality and Eastern religion, and the first episode did not disappoint. It has Jack Schwarzenegger in it, who's the son of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver.
I'm anxious to see Walter Goggins.
Yeah,
Walton. Sorry,
Walton Goggins. Yeah,
I keep saying Walton. It's Walton.
Parker Posey's in it, and Carrie Coons from what was it? The Leftovers. Really good cast.
Yeah, I'm excited to settle into it. My daughter already watched it, so I have to hurry up and watch and be in the same place.
Yeah. We have a podcast about that. Welcome to the White Lotus, and that's it. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
And remember, crystals are bullshit.
And numbers are for pussies.
Geico makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. And then you'll start to wonder why everything else isn't so fast. Like, why does it take so long to do the dishes? A meal that's gone in 3 requires 45 minutes worth of dishes. Doesn't make sense. but it does make sense to get renter's insurance through GEICO. That way, that pile of dirty dishes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with GEICO.